Good morning, everyone. I'm Leonardo Moreno. I'm a PhD student at University of Florida, and today I would like to share with you some preliminary results of the work my collaborators and I have been doing on modeling growth of annual ryegrass using the crop growth forage model. You might be thinking right now, why bother modeling forages? Or even why using crop growth to simulate forage growth? Well, forages is the main resource used to feed cattle around the world. And besides that, the forages undergo several cycles of defoliation and regrowth, what makes it a bit different when compared to row crops. And crop growth is a flexible model capable to simulate grain legumes, vegetables, or even tropical perennial forages. So we started from the work done by Lara, adapting crop growth to simulate guinea grass growth, which is a perennial C4 grass. So we had to bring back some C3 parameter values and bring back annualness to the model without losing the capability to simulate the regrowth cycles, which is similar to a perennial grass. And we use the approach proposed by Hunt and Booty to adapt the model, starting with crop life cycle and development, then moving over to biomass accumulation, which is pretty much photosynthesis, respiration, and carbon and nitrogen mobilization. Then moving over to leaf parameters that will in turn affect back biomass accumulation. So we had to recheck biomass and move over to partitioning, and we repeated this cycle as many times as needed. We used a four-experiment data set from Brazil with different treatments, including different harvest intervals, fertilized versus non-fertilized, irrigated versus rain-fed treatments. Although we just used, to calibrate the model, we just used the non-limited treatments. And we used all available data on herbage mass, leaf area index, specific leaf area, leaf and stem mass, to calibrate the model. I'll just show today the simulations on herbage mass, total mass. We use the data set and literature to pick some initial values for some parameters, and then we estimated them using the PARMAST program, which is a Markov chain Monte Carlo sampler. And we use this program against observed data. And we checked model fit using root mean square error, Wilmot agreement index, and the simulated to observed ratio. We started with some inputs to the model, seeding, fertilization, and irrigation dates and amounts. We defined regrowth initial conditions. As a stubble mass, we defined 1,000 kilograms of dry matter per hectare, which is consistent to a 7 centimeter stubble height. We defined 20% of residual leaf percentage. And plants were set to a growth stage of 2 virtual nodes after each regrowth or after each harvest. We defined flowering time, maximum leaf photosynthesis, which is a typical C3 value, and specific leaf area, thinner leaves compared to a C4 plant. The original, or the C4 version of the model was set to stay vegetative during the whole season, so we had to change some parameters to make it simulate different developmental phases. We had to change also rate of leaf appearance based on literature. Obviously, cardinal temperatures, a C3 cool season grass will have lower base and optimum temperatures for development, and also for photosynthesis and leaf expansion. Plant composition will be different. We'll get to that a little later. And the model has a C3, C4 switch, which encompasses several parameters related to photosynthetic pathways. Here are the temperature effects on photosynthesis. We can see here that the optimum value for electron transport rate for a C3, the blue lines are the ryegrass, is around 20, while the guinea grass is over 30 Celsius. The night temperatures or minimum temperature effects on photosynthesis, near freezing temperatures will do will not affect photosynthesis of a ryegrass, of a C3 cool season grass, but a C4, a tropical grass, will be affected negatively when temperatures fall below 15 Celsius at night. The same for leaf expansion, mediated here by specific leaf area. So low temperatures will not affect leaf expansion, but when temperatures go over 25 Celsius, rate will be a little slower for the C3 plant. On the other hand, a C4 plant will be slower when temperatures are below 15 Celsius, but will not be affected by high temperatures. Plant composition. A C3 plant has higher levels of Rubisco, so this can be translated as protein concentration on tissues. That will also affect the minimum and optimum nitrogen concentration values for photosynthesis. That will be higher on a C3 plant compared to a C4 tropical grass. Specific leaf area parameters, again, thinner leaves for a C3 grown under low irradiance cool season, and photosynthesis was defined using thinner leaves. The results we have so far, the model is being able to simulate regrowth of ryegrass. Our D value is not great, but it's okay so far. Root mean square errors are close to the values we can find in biomass, field biomass sampling. And the average observed to simulated ratio are close to one. So we can see that the model is picking the main trends along the season. But we observed that the second harvest on each treatment, on average each season, is being underestimated by the model. The red lines here are model predictions, and the blue dots are observed values. So we hypothesized that plant growth stage after harvest or residual leaf percentage should not be kept constant along the season. So we made two different scenarios. We changed plant growth stage along the season, starting with 2 up to 8, simulating an aging effect on the stand regarding to partitioning. We can see here that the late season predictions were improved compared to the original scenario. And here we started with a high leaf percentage at the beginning of the season that is going down due to stem elongation during the season. So we can see that this scenario improved the simulations. The simulated values are close to the blue dots here. So we can see that the model is much more sensitive to residual leaf proportion in the residual biomass. We can see that compared to the initial scenario, our indices are better. Changing plant growth stage didn't do much to the model, but when we combine both changes, the residual leaf percentage and plant growth stage, we got even better results. So with this, we need to go a little further to understand the relationships the residual parameters have with other model routines. We still have to deal with some partitioning issues related to annual versus a perennial forage and solve some phenology issues. And these three first items here may need some changes to model codes. We need a more comprehensive uncertainty and sensitivity analysis to understand how these parameters are affecting model simulations. And we'll try to get new data sets to test the model under different and a wider range of conditions. So with this, in conclusion, yes, the model is effective to simulate ryegrass growth, but given the importance of the residual characteristics to model simulations, and given that this kind of information, observed information, is scarce, the model should ideally be able to simulate effects of defoliation strategies and environment responses to leaf percentage or or total biomass of the residual after harvest. Thank you for your attention and patience, and with this I will be happy to take any questions you may have. You mean harvest cycles, or?
Yeah, well, if you say you harvest like you're flipping out there on a weekly basis or a monthly basis, or once or twice during the whole season, is that model going to predict more or less total biomass?
Can you repeat the question?
Sure. If the model is simulating more or less biomass according to the number of harvests,
yes. It
will. If you increase the number of harvests, it will predict lower individual biomass per harvest. When you add them up, it's a different story, but each harvest will be lower compared to when we have one or two harvests along the season.
Well, that would make a big difference for a rancher who is maybe putting the cattle in there every other week or continuously grazing it, whether it's going to affect the total biomass production. That's why I asked the question.
Right, yeah. It's an ongoing process as well, so we still have to adjust some parameters and some issues with the model, but it is right now simulating different harvest intervals. We have three different treatments in a given season. That is, harvests are 14 days, 28 days, and 21 days, and the model is being able to simulate these differences. Yeah, the model simulates partitioning to roots. We don't have observed data on roots in this particular work, but we have above ground biomass, so the model is able to do that, and we have to make some inverse modeling to address this. It's not constant during the whole season. We can change this, and that's why we have this growth stage that plants are staged back to a given growth stage. So we can link to different partitioning times. So we can have more partitioning to roots right after germination, and then increase partitioning to shoots, and then come back to partitioning to storage organs at the end of the season. Yeah.
But a lot of grassland is grazed. Would you be able to, can you think a little bit what would have to change in your model, or what you would have to do, what you'd have to take into account if you wanted to look at grazing, simulate grazing?
Right. Basically, the differences between mowing and grazing will be the stubble differences. The stubble will be different. So when we try to address residual characteristics to and try to get better simulations, we'll partially addressing this as well. We need to have data on graze swards to check the model, but basically the effects will be on the residual biomass characteristics.